Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Week Trend Report. Weekend Trending Report, Part 5. The Trend 5, like the Fast 5. That was what they called that one. I'm Jack.
That's the tough
that's
one.
Miles.
Yeah.
It's Monday. It's Monday, baby.
Yeah.
We did the barb of the Barbenheimer, Boppenheimer. Yeah. We did the buh of the Boppenheimer. Yeah.
I saw two people rocking the Barbenheimer shirt at the Barbie when I saw Barbie.
It was a full-on cultural event.
Yeah, truly. It's been a while since something.
My only note is that the movie's doing so well, they're really churning through them. Do not expect the full 20 minutes of previews because, you know, we're stuck in a 30-minute line at the concessions. And I was like, yeah, no, we'll be fine. Like the last movie I went and saw, it didn't start till like 40 minutes after the showtime. And we got in, missed the first scene. Miles, I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
You missed the first scene?
Yeah. So who's Barbie? So that's what this episode is going
to
be.
Yeah, I'm just going to be
asking you questions.
Yeah.
Was the first scene the one, was it the trailer? Remember
yeah,
they had
it's
that?
Yeah, the Helen Mirren narration with the girls playing with dolls.
So I had seen it. So I wasn't totally lost. Five stars, no notes from my end. I thought it was a full on triumph.
I hated it. And we'll get into that next.
And that's what makes this show fun.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it. We're gonna talk about this.
Oh, easy. Man.
It's early.
Yeah. No, don't worry.
We're gonna talk about Barbie more in the news section. Mm-hmm. But first, we like to kick off the week with a little over under from your boys, Miles and Jack.
Your boys.
You want to kick us off? You want me to kick us off?
You had underrated first. I'll do my underrated first. Underrated. Just a bowling date.
Oh yeah.
You know? Her Majesty and I, we hit Barbie. We went to this mall that was like kind of further out because that's where we could get tickets. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really been to this mall. It's gigantic. Okay. This mall, I've never been to a mall so big. Like in LA. I was kind of surprised that growing up, this is the Santa Anita Mall for full disclosure. It was gigantic. And there's like a Dave and Buster's, an AMC, and like a Bolero or some shit all in like the same spot. So after we saw the movie, we're like, you know, my mom was watching the kids. So I was like, let's just do a little bowling.
Wow.
I,
There's something so fucking pure, I don't know, for me personally about bowling. I think it's just good, clean fun. And I think it's, I be getting nostalgic for it because it's kind of like one of those places you go, like you do a lot for like birthday parties when you're like in grade school, like some kid has like a bowling birthday party. Mm-hmm. And then naturally, as you get older and you start going on dates, bowling alleys are kind of like the first place you go to because child, because you're not getting in a bar or club or whatever. So I don't know. I had such a good time bowling and I fucking suck at bowling. It's fucking disturbing. Yo. I'm so bad. Like, and I'm not joking. I threw a gutter ball every frame. Like one gutter
straight
ball.
Then I hit a strike, or I guess
it's a spare at that point, or 8 pins, 9 pins. I just, for whatever reason, I'm fucking wildly inconsistent. I need help, Zyke Gang. If you're bowling, Zyke Gang, honestly, I need to be better at bowling because I've never seen such a tense bowling game between two people where the score that won was 58. But it was tense.
Hey, man, bowling may be clean fun the way you do it, but I get dirty on the lanes, man. I get greasy down there in those lanes.
You good at bowling?
No. No.
Yeah.
But I'm like inconsistent. I think anyone who doesn't bowl a lot, you can get on streaks where you're really locked in. My wife and I went to did a bowling date in the past year at like a retro bowling lane over Highland Park, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Highland Park and bowling. Yeah. Figueroa.
And yeah, I had some good frames there. One time I went bowling. Two stoned back in my younger years, and I couldn't even make it to the arrows on the lane. Like it would just go directly into the gutter, like just
like 2 inches, like on the release, just gutter. Yeah,
there was just like some weird mental block that I had, and I just like couldn't. The people I was asking or I was bowling with were asking me, like, "Are you fucking serious?"
How the fuck do you do that?
Damn it!
Were you doing the thing where you were like whipping it?
No, I don't,
you don't
want to
do like
doing.
The old like the old like between the legs like grandma
get
style.
Out of my own way.
Yeah.
I do every single time I bowl. I try and do the thing where you roll one normal speed and then the other really slow and try and get a strike on both of them.
And
they both be end up
curling
being,
around the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't happening for me. But anyway, if you got tips, please let me know. I did everything. I shifted boards. I'm trying to just have my release go straight. I don't know, man. I'm fucking wildly.
Are you trying to put stank on it? Are you trying to
spin
it?
Hell no.
No. Yeah, I just go straight.
There were these people in the lane next to me, right? These like dudes were so aggro with it. They were just as shitty, but they could not get out of their like tough guy bowling style to just fucking whip it down the lane.
Yeah.
And like with wild ass spin. Like one guy at one point hit like a really clean strike with some wild spin on. I was like, oh, maybe this motherfucker knows what he's doing. Then the next five were just like chaotic. So like I tried to go
just
much more like
out.
Yeah, like I was much more conscientious about like where I was, what I was doing. Anyway, all that to say, shout out bowling.
My underrated is personalized license plates. I'd never do it, but I'm never not intrigued by a personalized license plate. They people just give us little puzzles to solve while we're stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Where you get to be like, what sort of personality disorder does this person have?
What are you into? Yeah. What's this distillation of who you are? What's the best one you saw recently?
Well, so I saw one that just said big mad on a drive the other day. And I was like, all right. Okay. I know where you're coming from.
I saw one that just said no wife.
FYI, ladies.
Hey, just so you know, no wife.
And then I went looking for personalized plates this morning on the internet, and they found one that was Jizz Lord, but people are assuming that it meant J is Lord, like Jesus is Lord.
Is Lord.
but they came through Jizz with Lord. The Jizz Lord, which I would love to encounter that in the wild on these streets.
Oh, man.
You got an overrated for me?
Overrated? Man. So, getting drunk and fighting people at an exhibition soccer match.
Yeah, so, you have a swollen shut black eye right now, I should say.
Hell no. So over the weekend, right, there was an exhibition game between Manchester United and Arsenal. There was and this was in New Jersey, like at the Meadowlands or whatever it's called now, MetLife Field or whatever the fuck it's called. And Arsenal fans started fucking fighting each other in the stands.
I guess
they're hot. Yeah, hot,
so
drunk.
It didn't go well?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I mean, yeah, we lost like 2-0. But again, it's a preseason friendly. Then yesterday, I went to the Rose Bowl to see AC Milan play Real Madrid. And I was like, so AC Milan was up 2-0, and then Madrid came back and won 3-2. When that third goal, like the last two goals that Madrid put in, this dude behind me was just whipping his full beer around everyone, like fucking everyone when they scored. The cool first move. Time I was like, whatever, this dude looks drunk as shit. He looks like this matters to him. I was like, whatever, this is just the cost of it. Like, I wasn't going to fucking, I wasn't start tripping. The second time he did it, I looked back and I was like, is this motherfucker for real? And so were the other people in some of the other rows. When the third goal went in, everybody turned around to be like, motherfucker, like preemptively. Don't. Yes. They're like, don't. Right. And he was like, I don't give a fuck. He kept saying, I don't give a fuck. Started whipping it around. Got it all over these like little six-year-old kids and shit that were in the row in front of me. And so the dad in that row and his homies, they were ready to fucking square up and just duff this dude out and his boys. Cause they were like, cause they started jawing and shit. They started standing like, and me and my friends were in the row in between. So immediately we stand up. Thank God we were bigger than both of these groups of people. Cause we were just like, this ain't happening. Like there's 3 minutes left in the fucking game.
Yeah.
And then this one dude, he was getting his kid started getting upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, look at, I had to be like, bro, I'm not trying to fight you, but please look at your son. Like, he is fucking upset. Like, he's tugging at you, being like, don't do this. And that's when, like, the guy had to be like, you know, then I was telling the other guy, I'm like, look what you're doing, man. You're getting this little kid upset. You're throwing beer. Like, what the fuck is this for? Luckily, they deaded it. But then the other guys were saying, like, yeah, I'm going to catch you outside, whatever. I don't think that happened. But all that to say, I was just like, what the fuck is, like, people just getting too turned up. And I
over
think
a friendly.
Yeah. And I think they were kind of, I think the guy was kind of being intentional because one of my friends had an AC Milan jersey, but there was like AC Milan people all over. It was just very odd. And like, anyway, the temperature's hot, y'all, out there. And it just seems like part and parcel now of like every sports, like anytime I've seen live sports, pretty close to being like on the brink of always seeing people, you know, start scrapping. But anyway,
producer
please,
Brian says my first soccer game, I got hit in the face by a guy diving for a t-shirt from a t-shirt cannon. So it's definitely a vibe at these soccer matches.
I think, but also I think this is one of those moments, maybe it's not really about the fighting, but I think it was just, I kind of had this adrenaline rush after, because as like a new parent, I definitely saw myself in this guy's position of like, yo, man, you fucking throwing beer like all over my kids and shit. Like whether or not you intentionally wanted to get it on my kids, but like, I'm not about to fucking not say shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to let you know that you've crossed the line. But then watching him get like the kid get upset, I was like, oh my God, this is so tragic. I was like fucking, I was a little excited after.
Yeah. Parenthood, you have to make sure your kid knows you're not a punk. And, you know, just hit the biggest guy who challenges you as quickly as possible just to, make sure.
Knock the security guard out with his own mag light. But it was wild, too, because the cops, like, people were, like, in the stands trying to get security because they could feel that someone was going to kick off. And all this fucking cop did from, like, the field was, like, shine his light and be like, hey.
I see you. I see you.
And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to stop, but hey.
And you have the spotlight, sir. Go nuts. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've always thought of soccer as being like more of a communal thing where everyone's singing together and stuff, but I guess that's not always the case, especially when it's not, when there's not like a home team and it's just a bunch of.
There's a lot of tension, man, because there's a lot of fans who kind of like think they're on that like hooligan ultra type thing and like don't think it's for kids, but it's an exhibition match and there's families there. And like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just have a good time. Like we're here to see something that we wouldn't normally be able to see. So yeah.
Well, I attended a live event and it's also my overrated Miles.
Ah, okay. So we weren't alone.
you know, being in Los Angeles, we don't get to the theater very often. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear about it from people in New York. But yes. I rarely get to watch professional actors tread the boards. Finally made it to the theater.
Glass Menagerie? What did you see?
A venue known as Crypto.com Arena take in a play called Jurassic World Live.
You saw that?
Yes.
I wanted to go see that shit so bad last week. I think it was at the Honda Center in Anaheim last weekend, and I was thinking about going because I'm so Jurassic Park brained.
Miles.
How was it?
I'm sorry, Jurassic World, but this is going to be a pan. It is a two-act play in which puppet dinosaurs interact with human actors on motorcycles. Some things blow up. It is way too plot driven.
Really?
It is full of plot. So one of the big problems.
Wait, so for people who don't know, the Instagram ad of this thing, which I was getting slammed with, made it look like the fucking T-Rexes come out and
you
it just looks
walk
like
with dinosaurs.
A dope ass dinosaur show without much anything needed because like you were looking at like big ass T-Rexes and shit. But
I'm trying to get my kids into dinosaurs because the Star Wars stuff is becoming a little overbearing. Like it's just wall to wall. Like John Williams scores from the obscure like parts of episode 3 where it's like, oh yeah, this one really hits actually. Yeah, the battle between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin.
He's like, I got Leia's theme on loop.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what I bet you'd like is dinosaurs. They're pretty cool. And like my kids aren't even into dinosaurs after seeing this.
You can't, bro. I don't know. I think that you fucked the sequence up.
Yeah.
I don't think you can
go
Star
Wars
and
then Star Wars.
Nah, because you just went to the future and then back to the caveman.
It's actually a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But yeah, I see your point.
Unless like the dinosaurs have lasers and shit shooting out of it. Because my progression was dinosaurs. And then I was like, yo, what the fuck are these like light swords and shit? Oh, yeah, I'm over here now.
The big problem with Jurassic World Live is that it is a theatrical play where you're in an arena. Mm-hmm. And they've constructed it so that it is like telling a story that has a lot of like back and forth dialogue between characters, but you have no idea who's talking. And there are at times 20 people on stage interacting.
Is it like a play where the focal point is clearly like over here? There's like dinosaurs meandering on one part of the arena floor and then people are having a convo. Like, can you follow what's happening at all?
Have you been to a theater before? So it's
not like this.
Oh, yeah, it's like this. It's like the entire hockey floor, you know, an NHL ice sized stage with dinosaur puppets and then human actors, normal sized human actors. And you need to know who's talking at various points because like they've written it so that like five people are having a conversation and like. So the actors are asked to use their body language to communicate, like, I'm the one imparting this witty tossed off aside.
When they say I'm, are they doing like the two thumbs towards
they're doing
just
the
like
big
I'm
hand
the
gestures,
one that is telling you, like finger
like,
waving.
As much as they can, you know, but people generally don't raise and pump their fists over their head when they're like casting off a witty aside. So it's
what
a real mess.
What is the plot? If you can walk me through, what is the narrative of this show?
So it takes place at Jurassic World.
It's not like they've brought the dinosaurs to the arena. You're watching a play about Jurassic World.
You're watching a play about Jurassic World.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, that's why it's Jurassic World Live.
Yes.
Like
they're working with a genius dinosaur named Genie, which is short for genius. And it's a lot of like lab scenes with her and they're like, wow, the decoder seems to say she's having complex emotions. And then the T-Rex breaks through and then NGen wants to control this genius dinosaur for. It's just way too much plot for weapons, which is always the idea. They've just taken the logic from the Alien franchise and they're like, this makes sense. You would breed dinosaurs to use them as weapons.
Yeah.
The most unpredictable inefficient weapon that you could possibly imagine.
Tactical nuclear weapons.
Yeah, you ride but think about how sick it would be if you were riding a fucking raptor into battle.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it has like five different settings. Like, it goes from Jurassic World to, I guess, three settings. Jurassic World, New York City, to a desert in South America, back to Jurassic World, back to the abandoned island. And it's just they put too much plot in there.
Right.
I really felt for the actors having to be like, I'm the one talking right now, with their big like sweeping gestures and like pointing their thumbs at their shoulders. And then the fight choreography is just, you know, there are these like long 15-minute like fights where like it's basically like, you know, child play fighting, but instead of children, it was ballerinas, like, because they're all, you know, trained actors and dancers.
Oh, so
they
right.
like
yeah,
to
yeah.
do like spins and pirouettes, and it's interesting. But anyways, I think I can use this to just say the theater is not bringing it these days, folks.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I get that. Valid criticism. That's why it's a dying art.
That's why you got to go to the movies.
Hell yeah.
And we're going to talk about the movies right after this. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back.
Boppenheimer was a success.
Yeah.
A rousing success. People opt-in-heimered this weekend. So Barbie is like the most biggest opening weekend of the year, right ahead of Super Mario Brothers. It was like way, way more than anybody was expecting.
Did it like double? Wasn't each movie double the projection, basically?
I think so. Yeah, it was wild. Like how many people went. Like the theaters were teeming with people in pink.
I wore my pink.
Yeah. I wore pink pants and
pants?
Yeah, I got pink pants.
What are those? Like some
pink cords?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Style. White tea. Okay.
My wife wore a pink jumpsuit, and we went and saw it at Man's Chinese. And
oh, wow. Okay.
Freddy Krueger on the way out. She said Freddy, and he said Barbie. So was pulling it off.
Respect.
Anyways, I've only seen Barbie. I'm going to see Oppenheimer this week. Barbie's great. That's my review. It's awesome.
I think I got to say, I saw Barbie too. I think Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, we'll give all praise to Greta, did a really good job of just like threading what I felt was a nearly impossible needle to thread of like talking about the topic of Barbie, wrestling with its place in like the concept of modern womanhood and patriarchy and all that, while still being like a fun summer movie.
So fun.
That's where I'm like,
the jokes really landed.
Oh, hell yeah. And again, I'm not joking. I was so excited to go to the movies this weekend. I've not felt like this. It's been a fucking long time since, for some reason, I felt like the Nicole Kidman commercial. Like, it feels good to fall in love in a place like this or get your heart, whatever.
Barbie in there quick.
Oh, yeah. I have my cherry Coke. That first scene, I got emotional.
Yeah.
I don't know
I mentioned.
I think maybe it could have been because I was like in the second row looking on a big ass screen and my eyes just watering from just having to be too close and like light sensitivity.
Yeah.
But it starts off great, and then it's just such a, it's a fun ride. And without spoiling anything, I think there's so many good jokes that I'm sure we'll be talking about for a while.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Sorry, am I eating something delicious? Because I'm seeing noms everywhere in this film.
Oh, really?
I already did that joke off.
Yeah. Well, you workshopped it.
I had to. Yeah. And you didn't.
It got one laugh, one groan.
All right. Ryan Gosling, I think, will be nominated for supporting actor. I think Greta Gerwig will be nominated for director.
What about Margot
Robbie? Yeah, I think she could definitely be nominated for lead. But I think Greta Gerwig now is like in the conversation as like the best writer director working. Like, she's 3 for 3 in just like 3 wildly different movies.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen Little Women, but I hear it's good.
Yeah, I saw Little Women when it came out. Don't know what it's, couldn't tell you what it was about, but it was good.
And I just like mind meld, like Greta Gerwig used my favorite song, Push by Matchbox 20, throughout my go-to karaoke. That song will never be the same again.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
I don't know. Like, I think there's like a lot of climate anxiety stuff in there that is interesting that I don't see a lot of people pointing out, like that you're waking up from an artificial consumerist world to realize like we're all going to die, but it's
right.
I don't know. There's also like, and obviously
other people, like bumming other people out when you talk about it.
Yes, exactly.
What?
Like, no.
I'm joking.
Like the Barbie world is like plastic on the beach and like plastic water. I think that there's like interesting ideas in there, like both textually and subtextually. I think it's really good. They did a really nice job. Such a fan, Ben Shapiro.
I know what it is, because I mean I remember on Thursday or whenever the embargo was lifted, every right wing person was like, "This is a woke mess." I forget. Judge Jeanine, one of them people from Fox, was like, "It's a Trojan horse for feminism." I'm like, that shit is not a Trojan horse. They Kool-Aid man
nothing
busted through the fucking wall.
Absolutely.
Who's a fucking Trojan horse about this?
I think there's a feminist subtext in here somewhere. I can't quite see it, but...
Right.
No, like, all the jokes are explicitly, overtly, like, about feminism and... Ben Shapiro... he posted a tweet complaining that his producers dragged him to see Barbie. He is, of course, by himself in the picture. His producers are all off camera, but totally 100% real, and presumably, you know, just out of frame, like Nathan Fielder's friends.
Wait, but why is he holding papers?
You didn't get the dossier when you went to the Barbie movie?
It's just so weird. He's like in his... I love your tucked in black tee into your black jeans, Ben. Love it. standing in front of the poster with, like, I don't know, like three loose sheets of paper with this like disapproving look. Like, what?
My notes are scathing.
Could you imagine him scribbling with pen and paper in a movie? Yeah. Too woke. Yeah. I'm guessing it was the just in your face fucking messages about inequalities in our society.
So he released a 43-minute video devoted to nothing but Barbie, and appeared to try and spark mass protests against the movie that most of the world was already in the process of seeing and enjoying and disagreeing with Ben Shapiro about. And then he made his pitch to be Kid Rock's boy sidekick by setting fire to Barbie dolls from the movie, he had to go out and buy.
So, he bought the movie merch Barbies.
Yes.
Basically. Wow.
And then set them on fire and presumably inhaled all sorts of unholy chemicals into his lungs.
Right.
But yeah, nothing says alpha male like going full angry third grader and burning some.
Yeah. Than being Sid from Toy Story.
Yeah. Real Dennis the Menace shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he complained his local movie theater's screening of Barbie was full of moms and young girls. Can you imagine? What?
At the Barbie movie?
No way. I'm shocked.
Huh. Go on.
He also claims that says it's a feminist claptrap and it features a trans actress. And this is true, totally normally, as if this is a female Barbie with a voice deeper than my own, which is completely not true. I had truly had no idea.
That went over my head.
Yeah. This is one of the Barbies is a trans woman. And
what scene?
It's the Barbie with kind of reddish hair. I thought it was Dua Lipa because I don't really know which one Dua Lipa is.
was Dua Lipa in it?
Yeah, Dua Lipa's in there. Many Barbies to keep track of.
Yeah, it was a lot of Barbies and a lot of Kens. But wow, I like that he must have really done his transphobic research to fucking pinpoint that moment.
Yeah, I think he did.
Good for you.
He was outraged. He claimed the film is explicitly designed to divide men from women, describing it as angry feminist claptrap that alienates men from women. He's an amazing, one of our foremost thinkers on gender and, the politics
and gender inequality in general. Yes. I think I think that's very in line with his philosophy for sure. One thing that was kind of interesting though is in dealing with a topic that is so inherently violent, like patriarchy, in my mind, I'm thinking of the most violent manifestations of patriarchy that we have in our culture. I was just thinking of those women who were testifying in Texas, they were trying to sue Ken Paxton about their inability to get an abortion when they needed to, but then still finding a way to deal with something so inherently chaotic, violent, dark, and make it work. Again, I was always that's a hard thing to do. Although I feel with other I'm curious how another topic may have been perceived, if it was dealing with white supremacy, if it was flippant. But I get that there is a way to do that. Already we have movies that skew these kinds of things, but yeah, to have it in a way that has the right wing people panicked, I'm you did a good job. I'm sure they love the America Ferrera monologue too. That's probably when conservatives walked out of the fucking movie.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, where everybody at the theater I went to was cheering throughout. And so Harry Neff is the doctor/DJ Barbie. Dua Lipa is the mermaid, according to Anna. There's just a lot of Barbie going around. But a real good time at the movies. I was thinking about Greta Teitelman's American ambassador character from Los Espookies during the movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just it seems like it has a lot of the same aesthetics from those scenes in the first season. But apparently the Barbie aesthetic is incredibly popular in Latin America for, I guess similar reasons to the US. There was a bunch of articles, the AP wrote an article about how Barbie mania invades Latin America. And they're the doll was popular in Latin America because it was introduced at a time when other toys for girls were mainly filling homemaker roles. which right. seems like it's true in a lot of places. But anyways, the movie's been a huge box office success there. And like, you know, in addition to that and like a bunch of tie-ins, like an airline painting its plane pink with a Barbie logo, it's also like been pulled into like some protests, like protesters in Peru who are calling for the immediate like elections to be called to get the current president out of office, created like this awesome looking Barbie doll outfit with like a pink machine gun and boxes labeled like dictator Barbie and genocide Barbie. And in Mexico, a young woman started sewing outfits for searching mother Barbie, like modeled on the clothes typically worn by the families of the 111,000 people missing in Mexico who are, you know, forced to fend for themselves because the police have given up on them. So it's being used in interesting ways and around the country.
It's just like, to your point about like just the plasticity of it all and like kind of like what that the larger themes or messages are. Like, I think when you pair that with Oppenheimer, like where you have, you know, Barbie on one end and the fucking bomb on the other.
Yeah,
it does put you in this weird in between because they are like it, even the bomb will induce like sort of this like existential dread and anxiety over like what we're doing, what we've done, like what the fuck is going on. So, yeah, I think it's just like this is just like two really interesting, I think, pieces of film that just happened to come at the perfect time to turn into something. Like, I don't know in any universe where I'd have been like, yeah, Boppenheimer.
Yeah, let's
like,
do
like,
this.
What the fuck? Like, if you told me 2 years ago, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, those are just two movies that are coming out. But for some reason, it's like, I don't know. I think it's embodying what a lot of us are feeling. Whether it's maybe people seek the predictability and cleanliness of a Barbie world and ignoring the things that we dread. But I don't know. It's it gives us a lot of things to distract ourselves with. And I enjoyed it.
And then ultimately end with the realization that we're all going to die. Important.
Yeah. Got to know that first and foremost.
Yeah. All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll come back and hit some non-Barbie stories. We'll try. I mean, Barbie's invading everything, but we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And what's going on in the world of politics? Obviously, we talked about there on Wednesday, there's going to be some big UAP, UFO hearings on the House.
Yeah, coming up.
What else are we seeing?
What else? I don't know. I mean, there's plenty going on. I think the one thing that's going to take up a big chunk of stupid air in the House is the House GOP's efforts to expunge Trump's impeachments. like really angry parents who are like, don't worry, honey, we're going to get that suspension taken off your record.
And then no one will remember it. And yeah, it will all then, be.
Which is so fucking weird to me that they think, just because it's taken off the record, that will somehow, you know, repair his reputation. Anyway, so Kevin McCarthy is caught in the middle because he suffers from what we have repeatedly called desert thirst when it comes to political power. The man will do and say anything to try and like climb the ladder. And last week, he offhandedly mentioned that Trump, you know, may not be the strongest candidate.
What?
And then that had everybody clutching their MAGA pearls. And he's like, no, I didn't. That's not what I meant. Okay. Like, here's the thing. Yeah, I hear you guys want to take a vote to expunge his record. Okay, then I'll do that. Like, sort of like as a make good. But now he's found himself in this place, which he repeatedly finds himself in because he's always doing backdoor deals with people who have no moral scruples or are so inconsistent. So the MAGA caucus people are all like, we need this vote, like, or else it's a fucking embarrassment. The moderates, however you want to call them, whatever that word means in the Republican Party, they've all pretty much said, there's no fucking way I'm voting for that. I'm trying to get reelected, and I can't be, I gotta appear like some MAGA adjacent Republican, not big MAGA.
Right.
So if that happens, if they don't vote for it, that means the measure would fail, which would make Trump even angrier, because again, this is all just like an optics exercise for this man's ego. And yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene's like, I'm hoping that we'll have something before the August recess. But good luck with that. Just such a
we'll be checking in with it every day just to see like where they are with this, because it's very important. It is so funny that they like have a, like, they're not dealing with the media. They're just like dealing with one person's opinion of them. Like that's all they care about. It's got to be very, like, I don't remember. Yeah, it's got to be very surreal and weird where they're just like, okay, like, has he sent me a mean email? All right.
Right.
Then we're good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see where this goes. But McCarthy is consistently walking a tightrope trying to please the unpleasable.
Yeah. And then Twitter is now X, or is going to become
my
X.
God.
Elon Musk announced that Twitter will be replacing the Twitter bird with the letter X. And also, I guess Twitter will just be called X now, because I don't know, man.
I mean, if you go to x.com, it already redirects you to Twitter.
Yeah. No. So he's obsessed with the letter X. Like, you might remember his one of his child with Grimes, I think, has like an X in the name. There's like, I mean, it's not an X in the name like Xavier. I think it's like X is the first, like, it's a series of letters and X is the first
right.
And he also, like, his cars, like his car models, like the Tesla X model is a thing.
Yeah,
he's SpaceX.
Yep.
And his banking service that he tried to launch was X.com, which merged with another company and became PayPal. So that's like how we got this asshole in the first place. So he thinks the letter X is really cool, it would seem. And that's where this is coming from.
Yeah. It feels like also just in his like really sad, tragically uncool brain that he thinks that this is the move for Twitter. It's like, make it the worst website, then just change everything around. Apparently, like, I think they suspended the X Videos account, like a porn account, because videos on Twitter are going to be called X Videos. Like, everything's X-centric. And I don't know. I'm kind of like really enjoying watching him completely make like compounding mistakes over and over. Like, what, X is only cool to people who are like of his age, I feel like, that he couldn't shake that idea of X being cool.
Right. I guess he is Gen X, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just living the truth, man. You know, yeah. X is fucking so sick, man. Because they want it to be like an everything website. I don't know, man. It's pretty soon it's going to be just called like Hometown Buffet or some shit.
Right.
Like, we do everything, yeah, man.
Back in May, he had this statement where he was like, my new CEO will help me transform this platform into X. And I thought that was just like he accidentally released like a placeholder statement. Right. Where he's like, you know, X, Y, whatever. But that's, I guess that was his plan all along, which he's previously stated he wants this to be an everything app, not unlike China's WeChat, which, if you're not familiar, WeChat is used by more than 1 billion people in China as an all-in-one social media, instant messaging, and mobile payment app. Used to order food, hail cabs, find news, and, you know, is creepy. Like, you know, it's not
going to work.
Surveillance, Elon, and shit.
It's not going to work here. It's not going to work here. And meanwhile, like, fucking Mark Zuckerberg and Meta are just, like, laughing all their way to, like, their way to the top with Threads.
This does seem to be a thing that it's like a phase of billionaire megalomania where you have to like rename your thing, you know, mm-hmm. like Google became Alphabet.
Yeah. Facebook became Meta,
which just seems, I don't know, completely counter, but it is like a way to generate cheap heat about you and like make a, what could be seen as like an aesthetic creative decision. So right. he like gets credit for thinking about something and being a tastemaker of some sort.
It just seems like a cynical move to do something with money, kind of like when LeBron James is like, I'm going back to number 23.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck? You keep changing jersey numbers. Glad I never bought the number 6 one. But yeah, good luck to you, Elon, and by that I mean fuck off. We'll see where this thing goes, but it just looks weird right now too, with like X at the top. I feel like it's a website for like a janky like boutique hotel.
Sorry, I'm just trying to figure out if Elon Musk has a child named just X, or if that it's the one that we all talked about when he and Grimes had the kid, right? And it was like X, yeah. And then AE and a bunch of symbols.
X, that like weird A, that I'm stupid. I don't know what that character is called. And then like A through 12.
You are stupid for not knowing what that character is called, Miles.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, folks. Oh, but I think they changed it. Is it now? It's Y. I think the baby's now Y.
Oh.
Just Y. Interesting.
Yeah, it really is fully changed. I guess like it hadn't cached on my browser until just now. But there is now just a dumb X at the top of the website.
Dude, re-X. Hey, are you going to re-X my X from earlier? Like my exes, dude.
Fuck.
I like my exes.
What? <Cool. laughs>
All right. Well, those are some of the things that happened this weekend. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Mm-hmm. Until then, be kind to each other, be kind to yourselves, get the vaccine, don't do nothing about white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.